He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Are there any best stocks now today? We've got a bloody red screen out there. Here's what I said 2 weeks ago in the macro outlook of my newsletter. Quote, I feel strongly that the Dow is topping out for now in this area. The NASDAQ and the S&P are also topping out for now, but they continue to defy valuation. Gravity. This is a time for some profit-taking and high vigilance. Some inverse ETFs on the indexes may be in order soon. Well, I'm the guy that called the bottom in the market last March, and 3 weeks ago I started saying, this looks like a top to me at 14,000. Where do we go from here? Well, let's see where we're at today. Right now we've got the Dow down 216 points. But let's not forget, the Dow hit a new all-time high. When? Yesterday. That's your trivia question. The Dow is at 31,314 right now. The NASDAQ is where the real trouble is. I've seen a lot of these speculative stocks growing and growing and growing and growing way beyond any rational valuation. The value is gone. The momentum is disappearing quickly. Now it comes down to technical analysis. The NASDAQ down 338 right now, 13,200. The good news is I have a support level drawn right here, right where it's at right now. We'll see if it holds at 13,200. Crude oil is down 60 cents today. We've got the gold down $10 per ounce. Silver down 59 cents. It's definitely a risk-off day. Trouble in the bond market, 1.36, although it's pretty tame today. And big trouble with Bitcoin. Bitcoin down $4,900 per coin today at 47,869. So welcome to Best Stocks Now with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. In my 24th year in this industry, I would say the most memorable year of all during my time in the market was the years 1999 and the year 2000 especially, when we saw excess. We saw massive excess in the dot-com, NASDAQ, technology stocks. The world was changing, and technology was changing the world. Semiconductors were coming onto the scene in a big way. Networking of computers was coming onto the scene in a big way. And the internet was appearing, and .com was starting to become the most popular suffix out there. Pets.com, dogs.com, radio.com, broadcast, you name it, put a .com after the name and the stock soared just on that news. Well, okay, what was wrong with that period of time? V was completely left out of the equation, valuation. A lot of these companies really had no business plan, or not much of one, beyond going public and lining their own pockets and then leaving the shareholders, the public shareholders, holding the bag. And boy, did it pop. Did that bubble burst, and did it leave a big mess? I got a very big valuation lesson very early on in my career, which was a very, very valuable lesson that has served me well over the years. And I've been warning about the excessive valuation in the market now, oh, really for a few months here, as forward P.E. ratios got up above 21, they went to 22, they went to 23. I showed a chart a couple months ago. The last time we saw forward P.E. ratios this high, I want to say it was back around World War II, okay? That's how historic these forward, and it's been created by the Fed keeping interest rates artificially low and making the stock market the best game in town. If you look at the bond market, we got down 1 year ago, about 1 year ago, I think it was March the 4th of last year, we got down to 0.4% in the bond market. 0.4%. That was an all-time low, maybe in history, for the bond market. And really, it had nowhere to go but up, did interest rates. And they started to trickle up, and then along came COVID. And I want to say in August, yes, August, early August of last year, we got back down to 0.5. So let's use that as our starting point, okay? That was 4 months ago, 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago. The 10-year Treasury hit 0.5%. Well, that's nearer at an all-time low. Where are we today? Well, we're pushing up against 1.4%. That's still very, very low historically. I mean, historically, interest rates have averaged 4 to 5%. And here we are at 1.4%, but you have to look at the direction of those interest rates. That's what matters. And I've been saying that the most important chart in my newsletter every week, I show a chart of all the major asset classes. And the one that has stood out to me is the major uptrend in interest rates. And that's caused two things to happen. We've seen a death cross in the bond market. That occurred about 3 months ago, 2 months ago, where the 50-day moving average crossed over the 200-day moving average. I have a big arrow pointing at it in the newsletter. Number two, on the other side of the equation, there's been a golden cross in the interest rates. And the interest rate of the 10-year bond. You've seen the 50-day cross above the 200-day. And I really don't see much resistance. We're at 1.4 now. I see this bond market interest rates could very easily go up to 2% here. That's where the next level of technical resistance is. And who knows, maybe this new administration would rather see a little bit higher interest rate here. I did go back and look at the 8 years that President Biden was vice president on the Obama team. Interest rates averaged about 3% during those years, about 3%. So anyways, we seem to be in a rising interest rate environment. I went through this in depth yesterday of the impact that has on the stock market. It curbs the multiple, the appetite, that little Pac-Man forward PE that's been eating away at price to earnings norms, has just been chewing away at that as the forward PE ratio kept going higher and higher and higher till we reached 23. We're at 22.3 today. We're starting to finally back off. I said, we finally reached an inflection point here. I can't see the multiple, the forward PE, expanding anymore. It's full. It's just been through the line three times at Golden Corral, and it can't fit anymore in its bloated stomach. And guess what happened from there? Well, the PE, forward PE, is now starting to contract, finally, as interest rates continue to rise. If interest rates level off, the forward PE ratio will start to level off. I personally don't see interest rates leveling off right now. I still see further upside to interest rates. The Fed can do whatever they want. They can sit there on their thumbs and do nothing, which they're doing, but at the end of the day, the market determines interest rates. And the market is smelling a little bit of inflation. It's watching iron ore prices, copper prices, wheat prices, corn prices, basic commodity, chemicals, fertilizer. We've even seen quite a rise in oil prices recently to over $60 per share. All of that is indicating, despite what Fed Chair Powell is going to say today. I think he's already said it. He doesn't see inflation. The market sees inflation, and we're seeing it show up in the price of many commodities across the board. Well, that's going to be bad for the technology stocks going forward. It's creating other opportunities in the market. I would not want to be jammed. I noticed that the ARK, A-R-K-K ETF, is down 11% today. It was down 5.7% yesterday. All the money flowing into that ETF and the other four have bloated many of these high-growth stocks beyond any reasonable valuation, and now the chickens are starting to come home to roost. This is Bill Gunderson. We got a lot to talk about here today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. Well, it looks like Jerome Powell maybe has calmed the nerves of the market somewhat. And technical support has also calmed the nerves, especially the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ came right down to the line I had drawn for technical support. In fact, the NASDAQ was down 492. I suppose you could say that 13,000 is the technical support level on the NASDAQ. We're now at 13,205. So it's bounced. The NASDAQ has about 150 points off that technical support level. Now, here's your question. Here's the million-dollar question of the day. Is this a buying opportunity in the NASDAQ? Well, there's a lot of different opinions on that. I would just say this. What worked last year, I don't see repeating and working this year. Last year was a very strange year. It was a COVID year. It was a stay-at-home year. And we saw stocks like Zoom Technology and Peloton and CrowdStrike and others go up to giddy, giddy heights. Well, those were the first to go late last year, especially as the vaccine started to appear on the scene. I definitely would not be going back into those stocks, okay? And then I would say that the EVs, the electric vehicles, and anything related to electric vehicles, Bitcoin miners, a lot of small Chinese stocks, a lot of small technology stocks. And I would say a play on a hope for economic recovery, especially from COVID, and you were seeing money going into the hotel stocks, the Carnival Cruise Line stocks, the restaurant stocks, etc., like life's going to get back to normal. I definitely would not be buying the dip in those stocks right now. For one, they were way overdone from a valuation point of view, and they're still overdone, way overdone from a valuation point of view. And it would seem that the FANG stocks, you know, have to watch. There may be a buying opportunity as they hit some technical levels. There's only two of the FANG stocks, three of them, that I currently like, however. But I really don't think that the dip in the NASDAQ and in a lot of these high-flying technology stocks, I don't think this is a buying opportunity. I think they have further downside risks. Number one, the valuation has gotten to an extreme number here recently. Number two, the momentum is disappearing from these stocks. Momentum is the second leg of the stool that I stand on. So what's it come down to now with those two missing? It comes down to technical analysis. I just mentioned that the NASDAQ, I have a support line drawn there, a line in the sand. It came right down to it, and now it's bouncing pretty hard off of that to the upside. In fact, the NASDAQ's down just 280 right now. It was down 480. So since it hit that support level, It's come up about 200 points. Well, my mantra is I take it one stock at a time. People say, Bill, this market's starting to peel, roll over and peel off. Are you getting ready to sell? I said it depends. I always say it depends on the stock. I look at each individual stock. I don't make massive buy or sell decisions, but I definitely go from a bullish sentiment to a not so bullish sentiment to a careful sentiment. I think the line in my newsletter from 2 weeks ago says it all. I said I feel strongly that the Dow has topped for now. The NASDAQ and the S&P have also topped out for now. This is a time for profit-taking and high vigilance. So now, for me, it comes down to the technical analysis. Yesterday, one of my biggest holdings, which still seems to be undervalued to me, but the momentum and the performance just started draining out of this stock after their earnings report. And yesterday, it broke my line in the sand. It broke my technical line. I sold it for 103% profit. Is there anything wrong with that? I sold a major position yesterday. And I have the same plan for today. I'm going to go through each one of my individual stocks. I have a plan with each and every one of them. Some of them I have a little bit longer leash on them, and some I have a very short leash on right now. And at the same time, the market is rotating. The market is rotating out of the NASDAQ and into more Dow-type stocks, industrials, commodity-related stocks, financials, banks. They benefit from higher interest rates and a little inflation, while the NASDAQ stocks, for the most part, suffer from higher interest rates and a little bit of inflation. So there's Bill's playbook, okay, right there for you. Now, let's take a look at some individual stocks. I think this is kind of a telltale sign here. The market seems to follow Bitcoin. Is it bouncing right now? The Bitcoin, let's see, it got up to 55,000, and then it's taken a beating here. Hey, it hit its support level, and it's recovering. There's buying in Bitcoin. It was down it's down 12% now, however. We'll keep our eye on Bitcoin. But here's kind of a poster child. This Churchill Capital, the rumor has been for many weeks that they were going to make a deal. Churchill Capital is a SPAC, that they were going to make a deal with Lucid Motors. Okay, another EV coming to market. How many will there be? Well, they were buying on the rumor. Buying. They ran this stock up to 60, above 60 yesterday. Okay. At that level, you're looking at about a $15, $16 billion valuation on a company that doesn't even have a car for sale yet. Well, the news. Yesterday was the rumor. Today was the news. Actually, for the last several weeks has been the rumor. Today's the news. And what did Churchill Capital do on the news that they've made a deal with Lucid Motors? The stock is down 33% today. It's losing one-third of its value. Another poster child, Tesla, obviously. That's not a good chart on Tesla, I got to be honest. Now, it hit support level. Do you know that Tesla was challenging? There was thoughts of it hitting 1,000 not too long ago. It got up to $900. This is Kathy Wood, biggest position at ARK, A-R-K Investments. This stock is rolled over today. Do you know just a minute ago here, I don't own Tesla. Tesla got down to about $600 per share. Now it's back up to $691. There's some buying coming in. Probably Kathy Wood, but you still got a P.E. ratio of 320 on the stock. Way too expensive. We'll be right back. here to the second half. Well, the market has recovered quite a bit. The Dow's down 124 right now. The NASDAQ is down 253. Not good, but consider it was down 500 points here not too long ago. Okay, now let's go to the other side of the street where it's a little sunnier. The Dow hit a new all-time high yesterday. The metal miners scored broad gains. Broad gains, weaker dollar, a hint of inflation in the air. And let's not forget, there's some shortages out there. A lot of these mines and commodity-producing operations weren't running at 100% capacity during COVID. And there's some real shortages out there. You know, witness the chips for the automobiles. COVID had took a hit, or COVID created a hit to the supply chain in a lot of industries. And we're seeing soaring prices right now in copper, in iron ore. Silver's been doing pretty good recently. Steel, aluminum, etc. And we saw some really big moves out of a lot of the copper-related stocks. In fact, copper prices hit $9,000 per ton for the first time since 2011. So what's hitting new highs? Well, there you go. Copper prices. That's one of the sunny sides of the street here right now in a rising interest rate, possible inflationary environment. And people ask me, what about your bond fund? Well, our plan is to hold the bonds to maturity, so interest rates really don't impact us that much. And in fact, we might be able to find some good buys in the bond market because the price of bonds have gone down recently with rising interest rates. Housing prices, they've done well. I noticed this cooling off, though. I don't know about your neighborhood. It's starting to cool off. Our neighborhood 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, it was unbelievable. Stuff was on the market for days, and it was gobbled up, mostly by New Yorkers wanting to get out of Dodge and get down here to Charleston. And, well, hands off my fishing grounds over here. I got some secret redfish spots that I don't want any Yankees discovering. Housing prices up 11.4% year over year. Have you kissed your house lately? 11.4%. Now, Bitcoin. Why is Bitcoin impacting the market? Well, you've got a couple of big stocks now. The one that comes to mind immediately is Tesla. Tesla had a $1 billion gain just from Elon Musk's Bitcoin holdings and for the company. You got another one, MicroStrategy, MSTR, which has a bunch of Bitcoin. So there is a bit of a link between the performance of Bitcoin and the performance of the NASDAQ. I think Bitcoin is a risk indicator. When Bitcoin is flying higher, it's risk on, baby. And when Bitcoin starts to falter, you're seeing more of a risk-off attitude. So, yeah, I think Bitcoin's a pretty good indicator for the risk part of the market. All right, let's see what else we got. Palantir stock slumps after co-founder Cohen and officers sell shares. Somebody text, or some, one of my subscribers asked me the other day, what do you think of Palantir stock, Bill? I said, well, it's ultra expensive. That's what I think of Palantir stock. It went public at 7, and it went to 45 in just a matter of months. You know, they bring these stocks out at a pretty full valuation if they could do it. Of course they want a full valuation for all of the early shareholders in the stock, the people that took risk. When a $7 IPO goes to $45 in just a few months, it's pretty hard to like a stock from a valuation point of view. And Palantir, after it hit that $45 mark, has pulled back clear down to $26 per share. I don't like it even at this level. Still speculation taking place in the market. Here's an example of that. Bitfarms. Now, what do they grow? I'll give you a hint. They don't grow carrots. Bitfarms reports 1.18 EH/S. Now, that's terminology I don't know. It's a Bitcoin mining term, and it repays its term debt. And if you look at a chart of Bitfarms, which is B-F-A-R-F, B-F-A-R-F. You know, if you took that first F out, it'd be barf. Well, I guess they voted. The board voted against that that symbol. Threw in another F. It's B-farf. Okay. It doesn't make the stock any more valuable. But this stock has been on a tear recently. They mine Bitcoins. There's been a shakeup in the sector rankings recently in the market. You know, there's two major things in the newsletter I would look at before I looked at anything else. Number one, make sure your subscription isn't getting ready to expire. That's number one. Number two, look at the macro outlook. That's the last thing I do in the newsletter. I update that macro outlook with target prices. And I read a quote from the macro outlook from a couple of weeks ago. This is my macro picture. This determines whether to have your full offense on the field, start to take some offense off the field, or start to put defense on the field, or completely have your defense on the field. For the most part, I've been a bull for 12 years. I've had my offense on the field. I went all out, all in last March, about a year ago. The market has come a long ways during that year's period of time. And I see no problem with taking a little bit off the field here and lightening up a little bit and taking some profits. The second place I would go. Does that mean sell everything? No. Take it one stock at a time. I've already looked at 10 of my holdings and no change. I'm not doing anything with them. All right, sectors. The sectors. I can't emphasize enough how important being in the right sectors and out of the wrong sectors, how important that is. I see a major shakeup in the sector rankings over the last couple of weeks. Guess what? The number two sector is right now. The mining sector. And I'm not talking bitcoins. I'm talking copper, aluminum, iron ore, these kinds of things. XME is currently the number two ranked sector in the market. And I've also seen a big jump higher in two other sectors recently. The financial sector. Why? Rising interest rates. The problem is I can't find any good values in the financial sector. I see financial stocks breaking out to new highs, and they look good from a technical point of view. They have some good momentum and performance going along with that. But when I look at that third leg of the stool, valuation, I can't find any, maybe just a few, that meet my 80% or more upside potential over the next 5 years. So even though that sector has moved up in rank, I'm having a hard time finding any individual stocks that fit my value criteria. And the other sector that's made a big move here recently, kind of quietly, kind of under the radar a little bit, has been the oil and gas sector. Do you know that the oil and gas sector was at the bottom of the heap? Probably for a couple of years. You know, OPEC, remember when oil went to a negative price about, 9 months ago, 10 months ago? We had negative prices on oil. Yes, 2020 was a very, very crazy year, including that day in the oil pits when so many people had oil short. It went to a negative. It went to a negative posture. Of course, this has been the year of GameStop and others, and Bad Kitty. Was that his name, Bad Kitty? You know, when people are listening to Bad Kitty on GameStop, you know there's a little froth in the market. So anyways, the transportation index has also been moving up here recently. I've noticed the railroads. People are buying the airlines. I'm not buying that. I can see the railroads. And to some extent, the trucking stocks. as the commodity sector heats up, all those commodities have to be transported. And that's also increased the shipping sector. One other sector, two others, the industrial sector and the agriculture sector. What, Bill, you're normally talking about high-flying tech stocks, and now you're talking about a ETF with the symbol Moo? Yes, we'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment. Boy, Jerome Powell, look at this. He has calmed the nerves of the market. The Dow now down just 81 points. Keep talking, Brother Powell. We're at 31,437 right now. One could say that the Dow probably has a support level at 31,000. The NASDAQ's definitely 13,000. It went right down to 13,000. It was down 500 points at that point, and it has rebounded quite a bit. It's still down 168. And I think this next little piece that I'm going to talk about, probably more important than giving you a featured stock of the day. Here's why I don't use sell stops. I've learned my lesson. You know, most of us have learned our lesson over the years by mistakes. And, of course, we all still make mistakes. But one big lesson I've learned over the years, I know that the CanSlim and the – I still see people all the time saying, I have my sell stops in. Well, here's why I don't use sell stops. Today's a perfect example. If I had to put a sell stop, let's say, on 10 stocks, 15 stocks that I own here because of yesterday's drastic action in the market, what would have happened at the open of the market today when the NASDAQ was down some 500 points? I would have lost all my stocks. Bam. At the low of the day, probably, because we did have a gap down. Maybe they would have been taken out on the way down. But now you've had this big rebound in the NASDAQ, and you'd really be crying about losing a bunch of your stocks because you had in sell stops. Okay, well, Bill, you don't use sell stops. Does that mean you'll write a stock down 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90%? No, I put in mental sell stops. I don't put in automatic sell stops. An automatic sell stop is when you actually go in to Robinhood or E-Trade or Ameritrade or whatever your brokerage firm is, and you enter a sell stop and you submit it. And now it's on the books, okay? If this stock were to go below $27 per share, I'm going to sell it. Well, if it gaps down to 23, you're out at 23, okay? If it slowly erodes and goes below that 27 mark, you're out at 27. Then the market turns around and it's back to 29. You lost it at 27. You told them you wanted out at 27. There's no reversing that decision. Well, I like mental stops. You know, it's more time. I spend, what I do is pretty time consuming. You know, I'm usually not done till 4 in the afternoon when the market's closing. I go through every one of the stocks that I own. Couple times, once for sure, maybe a couple times a day, and I look, I have technical, I have support lines drawn on stocks, not real tight. I think, you know, look, there's support at this level here, and generally speaking, over the last 12 years, stocks come down to these support levels, and you see the buying come in to these into these stocks. So I had a stock that violated my support level yesterday. That made the decision easy for me. I sold the stock. It's probably way up today. Who knows? I haven't looked. But that's just been my discipline. So if you go back to last year at this time, when the NASDAQ started to erode and the market started to erode severely, you know what? I lost a lot of stocks that had some nice gains in them because they went down below my comfort level. You know, the Investors Daily would tell you 6, 7, 8%. I think they may basically recommend 7 or 8%. I have a little longer leash, you know, 10 to 20, somewhere in there. And then I have to start saying I made a mistake and I got to move out of this position. I got to lick my wounds and move on. If you can limit your losses, that's pretty important. But there's another side of that. I've sold a lot of stocks for a 12, 13% loss, and they went on to be huge winners, and I missed out. So you really kind of have to look at the valuation. You have to look at the long-term prospects for the company. But don't get hung up on that, because I've seen a lot of people, their stock is going down and down and down. And I hear them saying, well, the story's intact. Nothing has changed with the story. Well, the story you're buying must not be the story that the market believes, and there's something that doesn't add up here. So don't write a stock down 20, 30, 40, 50, 60% because you think the story is good. You have to draw the line somewhere, okay? And you have to move on when technical support levels are broken. All right, what was the other subject I was going to bring up here before we're done here? Now, like I say, this sell-off in tech is creating opportunities in other areas of the market. And one last thing I would say, there's a lot of talk about recovery stocks. I'm not buying that argument because most of the I do believe that the economy is going to continue to recover. Is it going to get back to where we were in January of last year? I don't believe it is. I believe that we're pretty long in the tooth right now of this current recovery. Jerome Powell just said that we're a long ways from full recovery. So I would not be rushing into the airlines, the cruise ships, the hotels, the restaurant stocks, the ones that suffered the most during the pandemic, which still lingers. So anyways, that's just my thing. I see Macy's beats by 68 cents. Would I be buying Macy's? No. Would I be buying Kohl's stores? No. No. I think that the market is rotating, and I think it's rotating more towards Dow-related stocks. And if you want a clue to what those are, take a look at the current sector rankings in the app, and you'll see four or five sectors there that are rising right now. It's not always going to be the technology sector that leads the market. Even though that's where the growth is, valuation comes into play, and that's what you're seeing right now, especially as interest rates begin to rise here. Sometimes you have to own a copper stock. Sometimes you have to own a fertilizer stock, even though they stink. But sometimes they don't stink, and they can be quite good investments. Anyways, that's my story for the day. I'm sticking to it. If you'd like to get the newsletter, see what we're rotating to, GundersonCapital.com. If your advisor's doing nothing but sitting on his thumbs right now and staying with the stuff that worked last year, give us a call. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.